This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia's domestic violence crisis is making headlines again, and not for good reason. 14 women have already been killed this year by a partner, and increasingly technology is playing a disturbing role in how abuse is carried out. From spyware to tracking apps, smartphones are being turned into tools of control. But during Domestic and Family Violence Awareness Month, one national campaign is asking Australians to take action. And it starts with something many of us already have lying around. Joining us now is domestic and family violence survivor, Aurelie. Aurelie, welcome to Drive.
Thank you for having me.
Aurelie, can it be quite difficult for someone experiencing domestic or family violence to be able to communicate what's going on outside of the relationship?
Yeah, look, being in a domestic violence relationship is really complex. And sometimes for myself, being in that relationship for over 16 years, it was really hard to understand. You don't realise you're in it until you're in it. Mm. And it's really hard to see outside, you know, what reality looks like. So it can be it's really complex. There are many barriers that prevent us from being able to leave and leave safely.
How important are those conversations also with friends? So is it in terms of pointing out that you are in this sort of relationship?
Yeah, I feel like today of all days is a really great day to start talking about people's responses. For my, even my own personal experience, the first time I disclosed, it wasn't a really good disclosure because they told me that I had to leave and I wasn't ready to leave at the time. Then they just said, well, we can't be around you if you don't leave. So I didn't see those friends again, and I didn't tell another person for 16 years. So I feel like as a friend and a family member, you have a really, really important role to play in terms of providing a place where there's safety, there's no judgment, there's no criticism, you believe them and you understand the reality of you know, their experience. And once you do that, you know, that then creates more safety for people.
How should we react, Aurelie, if one of our friends does say, look, I'm in a situation, I'm experiencing domestic and family violence, and but I don't want to leave it now. Of course, our instinct would be, oh, you must get out. What is the best way to respond in that instance?
Yeah, just acknowledge what they've told you, you know, let them know that you believe them, and then ask them, what is it that I can do for you now? What is it that you need from me? What they need today in their first disclosure might be very different from what they need in a week or 2 weeks' time. So it's really about setting that safe space for them where they can come back to you and not have that fear of judgment or expectations they have to do something. We know there's danger in leaving, but we also know that, you know, if we have that support behind us, then people are more likely to leave and stay safe.
Aurelie, what if we're noticing a relationship, one of our friends or colleagues or family members, and it isn't a healthy relationship and it is abusive? What's the best way, I suppose, how should we talk about it? And is it appropriate that we raise that if we do notice it and perhaps the person in the relationship doesn't realise it yet?
Yeah, look, and that's happened to me. That was my situation. Like, I was at a workplace and it was 16 years later and there were a couple of ladies in the office who said, look, I'm just noticing these types of behaviours and, you know, that's not normal and that's not right, you know. And so they gave me the opportunity to really reflect because, like I said, when you're in it, you don't realise it. You've been so desensitised to the emotional, the psychological abuse or even the physical abuse, you don't realise that, you know, you're in it until you're in it. So it's really just letting them know, look, I've just noticed a few things. You know I'm here and I'm here to help and I just want you to know that, you know, these aren't normal behaviours. That might just spark a little, you know, fire in the belly or something that might make them think differently.
We often think of abuse as being physical, but technology is also playing a growing role. Can you explain what that can look like in real life?
Yeah, look, I'm on the board of two shelters in and we often have to scan every digital piece of items that they have, their phones, laptops, iPads, everything. There's lots of tracking devices and services that people have put on phones. So technology-facilitated abuse is increasing dramatically. That's why, you know, organisations like DV Safe Phones are really important, because when a woman comes into our shelters, we're able to give them a brand new phone that's, you know, not hasn't got any, where the perpetrator might have access to being able to know their whereabouts.
Do the domestic and family violence survivors, are they shocked when they find out that they were being tracked, or are most of them aware of it?
Oh, no, a lot of them don't know the ways that perpetrators are finding new ways every day in how to, you know, monitor, stalk and abuse their partners through many, many ways. Yeah, it's really important that they understand that these are forms of abuse, and, you know, we're, as I said, they're learning new ways every day to further perpetrate violence, so we have to kind of be on top of our game.
Now, you're part of a campaign this month that's asking us to step up in a practical way. What's the call out about?
Call out is about check, like you said, check those drawers. DV Safe Phone are a wonderful group that are doing amazing things across the nation in delivering phones to victims when they need it most. What they do is they'll take your old phones, they'll repurpose them and then give them to local shelters that are able to provide women who usually come into shelters with nothing. You know, it's a really, really stressful time for them. So, you know, if get into your drawers and find those old phones and find a drop-off centre in your local area. I'm sure there'll be a few around. And that's a great way that you can play your part.
I think I've got about three or four, so I'm definitely going to drop them off. How does giving a phone to someone, how does that, I suppose, that kind of support, what does it mean for their safety and their sense of control, knowing that they have that other outlet for communication?
This is the first step to the rest of their life, a life free of violence. And so important for victim survivors to be able to have something it's the first step to the rest of their life. That's honestly what it feels like. You know, they go into this shelter where the first time, you know, they're able to have some dignity and they've got agency back in their life. They can make decisions with the help of the caseworkers and the people around them. But that phone is the first day or the first start to the rest of their journey.
And if they go back to their abusive relationship, can they leave the phone with someone so it doesn't get caught? I'm just imagining if someone found it, they could potentially say, what's this?
Yes. Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, this is quite complex. Mm. So, you know, if they end up going back to their perpetrator, that's fine. You know, we just have to work through that.
Mm. Now, are you seeing a demand for this service grow?
Yes. As I mentioned, the increase in technology facilitated abuse has really it's increased a huge amount. So we are definitely needing and more increase. There's never enough phones to be able to provide women who need them.
Now, Aureli, if someone's listening and they're perhaps in a domestic and family violent relationship, what would you say to them? And they perhaps don't have access to another phone at the moment.
Look at your support networks and see who you have around yourself. You know, there's always, you can always bring 1-800-RESPECT, and they're great to really talk through. If you don't have anyone around you, that number will be able to give you support and give you guidance on your next steps, because you often don't really understand how much danger you are in or, you know, because you've become so desensitized to it. But I would just say, you know, look at your inner circle. Is there anyone in there that you can trust and maybe potentially start telling people what's happening to you? And if not, then call 1-800-RESPECT, because they'll be able to provide you support.
Aureli, I think this is a great initiative. Those phones are absolutely useless in our desk drawer, so let's get them out there. The website that we go to if we want more information or we want to donate our phones.
The website is DV Safe Phone, so it is...
Sorry, I've just got it here. dvsafephone.org.
Yes, so yep, dvsafephone.org.
Brilliant. Aureli, great to chat with you. Thank you so much for talking with us on Drive Today.
All right, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.